Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the Muscular Dystrophy Association's 2023 Clinical and Scientific Conference in Dallas, and we're talking with Luisa Leal, who's originally from the Mexican border town of Nuevo Laredo. Luisa is founder and CEO of the ACARI Foundation, a Texas-based nonprofit organization that advocates on behalf of Spanish-speaking families affected by Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Thank you, Luisa, for being here.
Thank you, Larry, for having us. We're very excited to be here.
Us too. Let's start with an explanation of the ACARI Foundation. What does that name mean, and what is your mission?
ACARI, actually, it's my daughter's middle name, and it's Japanese, and it means light. Our mission is to advocate, educate the Hispanic community. We have expanded to other rare diseases, and our focus is going to stay in Duchenne.
And when did you start your foundation, and why? Why Duchenne?
Actually, I founded the organization in 2017. I had a partner for 5 years, and he has two boys, twins with Duchenne. And I realized there wasn't that much information in Spanish for the disease. I became a good friend with the boy's mom, and she didn't speak English. So I had to start doing translations for her, and I was sending to her all these articles, and I just decided to create a group. And after I attended in person to a workshop for another organization, we met a family with three adults and a six-year-old boy, and the six-year-old boy trying to do the translation for the parents. And obviously a kid is not gonna be able to translate, you know. So my ex and I, we started translating for the families, and when I was walking out of there, I was like, that's it, I'm creating my nonprofit. You know, we started the nonprofit organizations, and me thinking, because I live in San Antonio, I'm going to start a small organization in San Antonio, but I rapidly have to expand to other cities in states in United States, and then Mexico and Latin America, because there's a big need of the Hispanic community.
Particularly here in Texas, we know that lots of families do not have insurance. Some families are not here legally, and you have obviously a language issue, among several obstacles to getting treatment for children with Duchenne. Let's talk about that one at a time, the insurance issue and the language issue. Oh, and the immigration issue.
Immigration issue, yes. Well, language issue, it's, you know, that's one of the biggest one, because obviously if they don't understand what if they go to a doctor appointment and the doctor just say, okay, your son has Duchenne, because we get calls all the time about this. Okay, they don't even understand what is Duchenne. They don't even understand, you know, the extent of the disease. So our job is to educate the families about the disease and help them with resources. And a lot of times, because a lack of documents, some organizations or even hospitals or clinics don't want to help the community. So we are there to help them. We advocate for them.
They don't want to help these boys because they're in this country illegally?
Yeah, we do have a lot of problems. I can say I was undocumented 24 years in this country. I know what it takes. You know, we have to work extra hard, and especially, you know, like right now I speak English, but I have a heavy accent and I still have problems because of that. It's the lack of education in the whole community as a whole about our community.
Do you see, for example, any change in that politically? Are things becoming more difficult for undocumented immigrants, specifically those affected by rare diseases like Duchenne?
I love this question. Thank you for asking that, because there's not that many people asking that. And politically, no. Actually, you know, it's getting worse. But at least companies, you know, pharma or other organizations are paying attention to us. I've been making a lot of noise, and I've been able to get attention, you know, and now they're paying attention to our community. Now we have all these other organizations trying to translate documents, websites, and we're here to help. You know, now we're working with, I can mention it, with Cure Duchenne now. We helped them doing translations and a website and paperwork.
Well, for example, pharmaceutical companies who want to reach potential clients and patients, and not to mention clinical trials, need to be able to communicate in their language.
Yes.
You have millions and millions of Spanish-speaking people in this country, both documented and undocumented. If they don't speak English, then by definition, they could be excluded from clinical trials.
Exactly. And that's one of the jobs, you know, part of our what we're doing. Our job is to educate the community as a whole, not just the families, but the all these pharmas, they're doing the clinical trials. And actually tomorrow I'm flying to Cancun, Mexico for a big conference for clinical trials. And the idea is to educate the whole country about clinical trials. So one of the questions you ask, and I'm sorry I didn't answer it, about, you know, what to do in case of clinical trials and immigration, you know, is to, like I said, educate the whole community, pharma, about the access to another country like Mexico. Right now, we only have 3 clinical trials for Duchenne in Mexico, and the country is huge.
That's it? 3 trials for a country of 120 million?
Exactly. Just 3 sites doing it, and only one site has 2, and then one has another one. So obviously, we need more sites, either open or if the ones are already open, to get connected with this pharma. So I think I can be that liaison, that connection, you know, with this pharma and right. and the community. Now, the thing is, in the United States, we have more access to digital resources, you know. In Mexico, sometimes they're not. So it's hard to get numbers. Now, Duchenne is not recognized as a rare disease in Mexico. So that's the thing that we're doing in Mexico, trying to advocate and change that, you know, trying to have muscular dystrophy and Duchenne in particular be recognized as a rare disease. Why it's important? Because of numbers. You know, we need to have this data of how many people.
What about spinal muscular atrophy? Is that recognized as a rare disease?
No, it's not. No, it's not. In Mexico, there's only 7 rare diseases recognized, I think. We still have to do more research on that. But we just started recently working with SMA, educating the community. And the idea is to bring education about the disease to the family. Same thing we're doing with Duchenne, but for SMA. Slowly but surely, we're going to be able to expand for other neuromuscular diseases. But we have to do it slowly, that way we don't end up doing something wrong, you know?
Right. Question also with regard to clinical trials. They're expensive. If you participate, you have to travel. You have to stay somewhere. Does your organization help patients and their families participate in trials?
Unfortunately, not. The thing what we do, because we don't have the funds, we're still a small organization. We've been out there for 6 years. Just last year, we were able to get decent funds to hire people. But we get connected with other organizations that are helping. They're helping us in that. And we have partnered with My Tomorrows. My Tomorrows is helping us finding the clinical trials close to the area of whoever reach out to us, and they educate them. And then if they said, okay, we found a clinical trial that we can attend, then they come back to us because of the language, and we reach out other organizations that can help us pay for all that.
What's your annual budget as an organization?
Just last year, we only had $110,000.
I see. And what's your funding? Are you going to foundations or pharma companies?
Yes, but so far, pharma is our biggest supporter. We just start going to organizations, and I think we only had $13,000 from 2 different organizations last year.
I understand. Speaking about United States, we don't want to forget Puerto Rico, because
You
do have an event coming up there. What's the situation of Duchenne in Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico is I'm not Puerto Rican. I don't know anyone in Puerto Rico. I'm trying to, you know, get acquaintance more there. But it's dear to my heart because Puerto Rico is like the forgotten child. You know, Puerto Rico, they're part of the United States. They're American citizens. And people tend to forget that, especially our political system. And but they're Hispanic, you know, and we're able to, I feel like, as an organization, I'm able to help more the people in Puerto Rico because obviously they're our Hispanic community and because they have documents. I have found several pharma or organizations that said, no, we cannot help you because you help the undocumented community. So, well, Puerto Rico is not undocumented. We can help Puerto Rico, you know?
Exactly. So. I think one of the things I would like to ask you is about, you mentioned about giving hope to families. There's a lot of research. Of course, it looks like we may be on the verge of a gene therapy for Duchenne. When you talk to these families, frequently they don't have accurate information. Sometimes they have total misinformation. And you've told me in the past that they believe in sometimes outright nonsense.
Yes.
Things that don't make sense. Can you give an example of some of the things that information that's being spread online and how you hope to educate them about real therapies that work?
Yeah, I mean, something ridiculous of some tea can make your son walk. Put cow poop in their legs to make them stronger. You know, things like that. It's like really crazy things that you see on this Facebook group. We're part of, I think, close to 50 or now Facebook group for Duchenne, for the Hispanic community. And it's from all over, United States, Mexico, Latin America, that a family just create a group. And we're part of all of them. And we always monitoring everything, because when we see something that is not correct, we reach out to that person or that group and said, hey, this is not correct. You know, we, obviously some people get mad and they block us or ban us, but we try to bring the correct information, you know, and send them, hey, here's a link for the correct information.
So what about the potential for gene therapy? What do you think?
We're excited. You know, in the Hispanic community, we've been able to translate a lot of the information. We have a biologist on our team, and she's amazing, and she has worked with many American companies doing medical translations. And actually, I didn't understand anything about gene therapy. My background is in marketing and film production, so I don't know anything about medical. I'm still learning. And so if I don't understand anything, I just text Susie and say, Susie, what does this mean? And she kind of like break it down for me to say, this is amazing for us. You know, this can help the community. So, but our job is to educate the families about the gene therapy and what it can benefit their kids.
Luisa, thank you so much for talking to us. We're about out of time. Muchas gracias. Buena suerte. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.